A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning to you, Namibia. And good morning to you, wherever you're tuning in and wherever you're listening us from, in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So good morning to you. Welcome to your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM. And our time is 3 minutes past the hour of eight. Thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you, and especially joining us at this point in time. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshavelli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politic. So every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that that matter, and giving you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning to you. How is the weather? How is the weather in your area? So how is the weather wherever you're finding yourself in this beautiful country? So yeah, here it's quite funny. In the morning when you come in, it's nice and cool. But I can tell you, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you know, it's hot already. It's warm and hot, you know. So yeah, so I don't know. Since I've been on this side, I never really experienced, you know, the winter that sometimes you do in winter. Actually, things have changed. Even in winter, it's not that much cold anymore as you used to do. So where there was time when you actually open, you know, you woke up in the morning and you open the tap and there's nothing coming out, completely nothing coming out. Yeah, that was cold. Or I remember one of the... I have been in two areas in South Africa, studied in two places, in Cape Town, UCT, and also at the University of Pretoria. But I can tell you, in Pretoria, it's one of the coldest. It's not like in Cape Town. So the one in Pretoria is the kind of the cold that you feel in your bone. You can sit next to, or you can just be next to a heater, and you still actually don't feel anything, you know. It's the one that you really feel in the bones, you know. It's that kind of cold. Yeah, it's horrible those days being a student. A very good morning to you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us at this time. As we normally do, we start with looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So nothing much happened. Very significant that happened this morning or today. So, but let me welcome you. So good morning to you. Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are tuning in from this beautiful continent. You are listening to On This Day in Africa on Eagle FM. So today is the 4th. Today is the 4th of June. Today is June the 4th. So around the world, you know, around the world, including right here in Africa, we recognize this as the International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression. Today is International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression. So it is a day for us to pause and remember children who suffer because of war and violence. So it's a time to speak up. It's a time to speak up for them and raises awareness about hardship they face. And in Namibia, and this is really, really significant for us in Namibia, because of course so many children in Namibia have become victim of aggression, especially violence. So yeah, so today is an International Day of innocent children victims of aggressions, and it's a time to speak up for them and raise awareness about this hardship they face. And children shouldn't actually face this kind of hardship. All right, also on this day, but back in 1996, Nigeria lost a brave woman. Kudirat Abiola was a pro-democracy activist and the wife of Moshood Abiola. So she was shot and killed by gunmen near her home in Lagos. Her death was a major event. It was a major event in Nigeria's history and is still remembered as part of the country's struggle for democracy. So, as I said, you know, we don't have much really today. That is our look at history for today. So thank you for tuning in on this day in Africa. Our time, 9 minutes past the hour of 8, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So I'll be with you until the hour of 10. Then I'll be handing over the mic, to Naluvanda, to Tate Naluvanda. And please make sure that you always stay tuned for Kufamosha. Kuthamosha, that's coming around 10 o'clock. All right, so today's Thursday, June the 4th. What is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day here on Unpacking the Day? So there is an old proverb that says, the grass is greener, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Now, the proverb reminds us that we often look at other people's lives and think, they have it better than we do. So, but what we see from a distance is rarely the full picture. You know, every person has challenges. Every person have challenges, have struggles, and responsibilities that we may never know about, because you're looking at it from a distance. Now, sometimes we spend so much time wishing for what others have that we forgot to appreciate what is already in our own hands, So instead of constantly looking over the fence, perhaps the better question is, how well am I taking care of the grass on my side? How well am I taking care of the grass on my side? Now, the truth is, a fulfilled life is often built not by chasing what belongs to someone else, but by nurturing what we already have. Our relationships, our talents, our opportunities, and our purposes, So, as you go through your day today, focus less on comparison, Focus less on comparison and more on gratitude. You may discover that the grass beneath your feet, the grass on this side, is actually greener than you thought. So, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So, that's our thought for the day today. So, all right. So, looking forward in the next 2 hours or an hour and some minutes, in the next 2 hours, what do we have on the agenda? What do we have on our agenda? So, the Economic Association of Namibia, have actually published or have produced a quarterly review of 2025, the last quarter of the 2025 of the report said Namibia's economy faced a challenging end to 2025. They faced a challenging end to 2025, and marked by a widening current account deficit of about 10.4 billion, and a 0.5 contraction in GDP caused by a significant decline in the mining and manufacturing sectors. So I want us looking at that. They are quite interesting, you know, take. So we're going to unpack that this morning, and really see how are we doing? Really, how are we doing? So make sure that you unpack that with me. So you join me in unpacking that. And one of my favorite minister, the Urban and Rural Development Minister, Minister James Sankwasha, he gave a directive, and he's standing firm on his directive, you know, and his directive is actually to disconnect utility service to government ministries and private entities with outstanding municipal debt. So he's insisting that no institution is exempt from paying for essential services. So I would like us to look at that, you know, because there's an angle that I want us to take and look at. You know, just imagine, you know, a granny in Commercedale or wherever paying, you know, if you owe a municipality about, let's say, everything, even if it's just a 500 or 1,000, your water will be cut off. But institutions that are owing, you know, and these are ministries and company that are wealth, owing millions, well, their water is still running. And so the minister say, well, that has to come to end. Cut them off. Cut the water off. All right? Cut the light off. So, yeah. So, let's look at that. Is this a good thing? The minister is actually trying to implement. Or will he be able to implement it anyway? So, that's another thing that we can look at. So, well, join me in unpacking these two stories. If we have time, we get to the second one as well. So, but, yeah, in a second, we will get into our first item.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandi toma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. Yeah, of course, if you want to advertise, if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event, whatever event, whether it's a function, or it's a workshop, or it's a conference, and you would like to broadcast or have a real time exposure via live streaming or broadcasting, you know, make sure that you contact our office number 083-288-400. 083-288-400. All right, welcome back, and it's good to have you. here, and it's always a pleasure actually being in your company. So yeah, so now Namibia, for the past few years, we have been hearing from the government, we have been hearing from government, yes, from the, especially from the finance people, from the president as well, that our economy is growing, okay? That our economy is growing, that we are investing in infrastructures, that we are building for the future, you know, blah, 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 all those, you know? And sure, there has been growth, you know, there has been growth. But here is the thing, yeah? Here is the thing. Every time we think we are moving, you know, forward, something pull us back. There's always something like something that's pulling us back. And this week, the Economic Association of Namibia, that's the EIN, the EAN, I mean short, EAN, dropped their quarterly review. Okay, they dropped their quarterly review, and my dear brothers and sisters, the picture of that pain, the picture they paint is that it's not a pretty one. It's not really a pretty one. What are we talking about? So what are we talking about? We're talking about trade deficit that has, you know, increased or ballooned, you know, to 10.4 billion in just the last quarter of 2025. So we are talking about an economy that actually declined or shrank by 0.5% in that same period. So we're talking about sectors that are supposed to be our bread and butter, those sectors which are supposed to be our bread and butter, the mining and manufacturing, taking a hard knock. If they were in the ring, you know, it's kind of like they get a knockout. Really taking a hard knock, taking a hard hit. And we are talking about a country that, despite all the reform talk, despite all the reform talk and the budget announcement, so it still remains dangerously dependent on a handful of commodities. We still depend on a handful of commodities. And that is the story we are unpacking in this segment. Okay? So, let's go through it. Let's go through the review. Let's go through the review piece by piece and figure out what is actually this mean. What does this mean for me? You know, because that's what we're trying to do. What is that? What does actually this mean for you? What does this actually mean for me? So, yeah. Now, first up, let's look at the deficit. Now, for those of you asking, what is a current account deficit? You know, not all of us have done finance or understand all this for us to be able to understand what is going on. Now, let me simplify this. So I did a little bit of finance, so I have an understanding of what that actually So let me simplify this in a very, very, very simple way, okay? Now, think of Namibia's economy, okay? Like a big household, okay? Like it's a big household. You have money coming in. You know, that's what we earn from selling our goods. The goods that we sell abroad, like gold, uranium, fish, beef, you know? Yeah, we have that money coming in. So, and then you have money going out, okay? The money that goes out, that is what we pay for importing stuff, for services, yeah, for foreign companies that are taking profit home, you know? So, yeah. And when more goes out than comes in, we have a deficit. So, when more goes out, then comes in, so we have a deficit. And right now, Namibia is owing. We are owing. Excuse my expression. So we we are owing. And we are owing 10.4 billion more. More than we are bringing in. Okay? So we are owing 10.4 billion more than then it is bringing in, okay? So that is 14.5% of our entire, that's actually about 14.5% of our entire GDP. And that's massive. And because if this is continuous, that is not sustainable. You understand? That is not sustainable. So now the Economic Association of Namibia says this deficit was driven by increased service payment and income flowing out of the country. Okay? So they're saying that this was actually driven by increased service payment and income flowing out of the country. Basically, we are paying more to foreign companies. Eh? We are paying more to foreign companies, more for services we can't provide ourselves. So that means we are paying more to foreign companies and services we can't provide. We can't provide ourselves. And that is eating into what we earn from selling our gold and uranium. It's eating up that. So, do you understand? Yes. Now, those export, you know, were strong. They were strong. Don't get me wrong. So the gold and uranium, they were strong, but they were not enough to cover the money, you know, flowing the way they are now on the other way. So you understand? So they were strong. This like gold and uranium. So they really were strong, but it's just that it didn't cover the money flowing the other way, you know? So, and here's what worries me now. Here's what worries me. We are not producing enough of our own good to replace now what we import. We're not producing enough of our own good to replace what we import. Every year, we spend billion on food, on fuel, on machinery, and on all sorts of things. We simply make... We spend quite a lot on many, 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 many things. Things that we can make here. There are other things that we can make here. Maybe agriculture product, for example. Now, the problem is that until that changes, actually. So until that changes, this deficit that we're talking about will keep growing. It will keep growing. It's as simple as that. And as I said, and as the association said, the Economic Association of Namibia said, it is not sustainable. This is not sustainable. It's gonna eat up your export, my friend. Okay. So now let's talk about now the contraction. This is the part that should actually make you, this is the part that should actually make you worried more. That should make us worried more. So the economy is actually, during that period that we know when we're looking at, the economy actually shrank, you know, declined. Not grew, it didn't grow. It declined by 0.5% in the fourth quarter of 2025. And this is a reversal. It is a reversal. Just the quarter before, in quarter three, 2025, we had a growth of 2.6. Okay? 2.6%. Now, the quarter before that, quarter four of 2024, we had a 38%. Do you see that? So, now, we went from 38% in the quarter four of 2024, 3.8%, all right? And then, so we went now from 3.8, just 3.8% to 2.6 in quarter three of 2025, now to 0.5 in quarter four of 2025. So that is a downward spiral. You can see that. I always tell you, number don't lie. When you look at that, you kind of like, Jesus, that has been a really a downward spiral. And it's happening fast. Yeah. Get into these numbers. Get into it. It's shocking. Yeah. It is shocking. So the question is, what cost it? What cost it? We really, it, I mean, when you look at the number, yeah, it is shocking. And as I said, it's a really a downward spiral that's happening very fast. So maybe the question, what is going on? What is causing this? What is causing it? Two big sectors. There are two big sectors that's actually causing that. And there are, these are the two big earners. Eh? Two of our big earners. So, okay. They went into, two of our big earners went into red. Absolutely red. That's mining, one of the largest sector in this country. Dropped by a shocking 28.8% in one quarter. Yeah? So let's come back after this commercial quickly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. And a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, we are unpacking the review, the quarter review that was actually published by the Economic Association of Namibia. So now as I was just looking at I was just talking about the quarter, the how we, you know, how the growth has actually gone within few quarters, yeah? Within a few quarters. I mean, as I was looking at, as I say, if you look at the quarter three of 2025, we had a growth of 2.6, you know, percent of 2.6%, and the quarter before that, now that is a quarter four of 2024, we had a growth of 3.8%. So now, as I was just showing earlier, if you are not around, if you are not listening, so we went now from 3.8, from that is quarter four of 2024, to actually 2.6, a quarter three of 2023, and that to minus zero point five. That's, as I said, you can see that is happening really. That down spirals, you know, happen very, very, very fast, as you can see that. So, and the question is, what actually causing that? What are the contributing factor to that kind of down spiral so fast? So two sectors, two big sectors for our economy, and these are the biggest earners. So this is mining. Mining, one of the largest sector in this country. It dropped by, it's really dropped by a shocking 28.8% just in one quarter. 28.8%. Now, the uranium export, they did well. The uranium export did well, but clearly not well enough actually to carry now the whole sector. So it did well, but it didn't do well enough to carry the whole sector. And then you have the manufacturing, the factories, the producers, the people who turn raw materials into everything, from processed food to construction materials. Also, it also fell by 5.1%. And that is actually, for this sector, is a serious, serious decline. So it's a serious slump. So and when mining and manufacturing now both struggle, who felt it? It is the workers. It is the workers in Lüderitz. It is the players. It's the suppliers in Otavi, from the farms and so all that. It's the transport companies moving, those who are moving ore and equipment. It's every community that depends on those ripple effect. So, but, you know, when you look at it, it was not all bad news, okay? Let me give you some. Now, the construction, according to this review, the construction actually grew by a massive 23.4%. You know, that's now driven by infrastructure projects. And then agriculture also grew by 1.4%. And fishing by 5%. But here there's a sting in the tail. Okay? There's a sting in the tail. Those sectors combine. So even if you combine all the sectors, they are simply not big enough to carry the weight that mining and manufacturing normally carry. You know? So even if you combine this agriculture and fishing and all that, they're doing well, as I said, they are not, even if you combine them, they simply cannot, you know, they are not big enough to carry the weight that the mining and manufacturing actually normally carry. So they are not, the thing is that they are not creating jobs we need in the numbers we need. They are not creating jobs in kind of the numbers that we need for people that are sitting at home, and they are not bringing in the foreign currency we rely on. So that's the situation. Okay, please pick up the review. It's a very interesting to read. It gives you really a whole, you know, picture of how we're doing. It's give a really good picture of how the country is actually doing. So, yeah, and as I always tell you, there are two things that you should be always interested in. Numbers don't lie, and follow the money. Okay, always follow the money. So, yeah. But let me bring you to a point that really get under my skin. Okay, this is the point that really get under my skin, and it should get under yours too. This one should get under yours too. So now, the Economic Association of Namibia report confirm, you know, something that we have been saying on this show for years. So Namibia's economy is heavily dependent on few sectors. Heavily dependent on a few key sectors. Just a few. So mining contribute how much? Mining contribute about 14.1% to GDP. 14.1% to GDP. Wholesale and retailer trade sit at 12.4%. Manufacturing at 9.9%. So that means three sectors make up nearly 40% of our entire economy, our entire economy output. Three sectors nearly make up, you know, nearly 40% of our entire economy output. And if any one of them now, if any one of these, like as we have seen now in mining, if any one of that stumbles, you know, if any one of them stumbles, as the mining just did, you know, the whole thing wobbles. The whole thing just wobbles. Is that English? Yeah, just decline. Eh? Now, the EIN, the Economic Association, put it plainly, actually. The economy shows resilience, yes, but it is increasingly exposed to volatility and has limited, our favorite word, diversification. So it has limited diversification. It's our favorite word that is normally thrown around, you know, by politicians and everyone who speak. Make sure that you throw that in the speech that you make. So, yeah, saying yes, the economy shows resilience, but it is increasingly exposed to volatility and has limited diversification. And actually, that's a polite way of saying we are playing a very dangerous game. No, seriously. It's a polite way of saying, hey, we are playing a very dangerous game. We are putting all our eggs in a small basket. We are putting all our eggs in a small basket. And one bad season in uranium, for example, one slump in a global diamond prices, one manufactured goods slowdown, and boom, okay? And we are in, well, you can call that as a recession. And we are in a recession. Yeah? We are in a recession. Well, we have an experience from Botswana. Yeah, we have an experience from Botswana. So, and that's an uncomfortable truth, really. For us, it's an uncomfortable truth. So, as I said, they simply said we need to diversify. So, and what is the broader implication of that? What is actually the broader implication of that? Every Namibian worker, every young person looking for a job, every family trying to make an ends meet, you are all living inside this vulnerability. We all live in this vulnerability. Yeah? When a mining contract by nearly 30%, boom, job disappears. Job disappears. So when manufacturing slow down, as I was talking about, factories cut shift, you know, people, you know, they started to say, okay, how many people will be coming? Only you cut shift. You start to cut shift. So that's why I said you live. Yeah? We are all living inside this vulnerability. So yeah, and when we talk about the deficit widen, then the Namibian dollar comes under pressure as well. And that affects prices in the shop. So our dollar comes into under pressure, and that definitely has affect, you know, the prices in the shop. That affect, and then if it affects the prices in the shop, what does it do? It affects your household budget. So that's how it affects you. It affects your household budget. So, yeah, So we can also talk about the what is that? Let's talk about the reforms. Okay. Well, I gotta balance this, okay? I'm going to balance here because, you know, there's all good work happening. There's also some good things that are happening. So what is the government trying to do? You know. So, of course, first of all, the government did actually table the operational budget, 81.3 billion budget of for 2026-2027. Yeah. And currently, so they are working on the what is this bill? The investment promotion bill, supposedly to attract more foreign money. You know, there are reform in procurement to support local manufacturing or local manufacturers. Yeah, and as we know, just looking at a few things that have been happening, you know, trying to improve, to mitigate some of these challenges in economic growth. The Bank of Namibia reduced the repo rate, or it kept the repo rate to 6.5, isn't it? You know, 6.5%. In a way that's actually making borrowing cheaper, you know. It's making borrowing cheaper, but as we have seen from other report, you know, the private sector doesn't seem to be, even if it was actually made cheaper, the private sector doesn't seem to be biting. They are not biting. Because credit growth slowed to just 4.4%. 4.4%. And that tells you demand is weak. It tells you that the demand is weak. People and businesses are not spending. They are scared. Or maybe they are not scared. It's just they can't afford to. They are not scared. It's just that we can't afford to. So there are also moves into a digital infrastructure, although like broadband, 4G, 5G, and although there are people that are unhappy. There are people that are really, really unhappy, and they even want, you know, the minister gone. There are protests. There are protests. I have seen, you know, something. What is it called? Protesting about, you know, you're signing up to get rid of the minister. So, yeah, there's a lot that ministry that it needed to do, and but not much has done actually. She has been, how long she has been there now? Yeah, so but there are some move into digital infrastructure a little bit. Yeah, so we're talking also about green hydrogen projects. So, and on the health front, there's a universal health coverage, or what, universal health coverage, yeah, is also in the works. Yeah, that all positive. These are all positive things that we can talk about. But here's my question then. Here's my question then, that given that the economy declined, it's actually shrank, you know, the deficit actually widened. So one have to think really, are these reforms happening fast enough? Are they really happening fast enough? Are they hitting the end? Maybe the other question is that, are they hitting the right sector? Are they hitting the right sector? Because let me tell you, when the core economy is shrinking, even if you writing a bigger budget and launching hydrogen project, for example, is a bit like rearranging. You know the Titanic? If you watch the Titanic, it's more like, you know, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's more like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But that's not what we need. We need the basic to work first. That's what we need first, okay? We need the basic to work first. We need production. We need manufacturing. We need agriculture that feed us and export export money. Okay? That's what we need. We need small and medium enterprises, medium businesses that can actually create jobs. That's what we need. Yeah? But the focus seems to be somewhere. That's why I'm asking, are we hitting the right sector? Are we? So, and that brings me now to what the Economic Association in Namibia of Namibia is actually recommending. What are they recommending? Now, pay attention here because this matters now. All right. Now, the association says Namibia needs to broaden its economic base. It means stop relying just on mining. Okay? And a few other sectors. Stop relying on just on mining. Okay? So they want mining revenues to be invested properly, you know? It should be invested properly in infrastructure, in education, in healthcare, you know? So, and they want better access to finance. Better access to finance for small and medium enterprises, the SMEs. So that entrepreneurs can start businesses, create products, create product, employ people, and so on. That is the diversification we need. That's the diversification that we need. So when you listen to many of our politicians, you know, whether you listen to them in parliament or, you know, or any different events, sometimes you just get tired. It becomes rhetoric. Because some of us, the thing is this, I think it's very different from you when you, this is not what you do every day. This is what we do. This is what we do every day. We get all these speeches until I know exactly what is in those speeches, you know, before even they get to an E. Because when you look at all the speech, because we get the speech, you know, as medias, we get the speech, and for you now to be able to analyze. To analyze some of this, it's like it's sometimes it's like it's written by one person. You know what is coming, you know the rhetoric in those speeches, and that's why when you listen sometimes, okay, what's gonna follow? You exactly can actually make a sentence, you know, before the person says it. So, yeah, we talk about, as I said, you hear all this about diversification that we need. Yeah? But when it comes now to implementation of that, when it comes now to say, hey, we see that is happening right there, tangible activities or something, we don't. Yeah? And that's the... But they talk about, we talk about, we hear about this and... A lot of summit, a lot of conferences, or whatever. And it's all talking about, you know, we need to diversify, we need to add value, we need to what? Every time, just listen to anything. Just listen to anything. Pick up any. That's all what you hear. But how long we keep saying this, there will be time. And it's just exactly, there's a story that I picked, the second story that we're going to look at of Minister Sankwasa, where now he gave a directive. He said, what? You know the directive? Cut off their water and like, that's what you want. We want to see that happening. Eh? We can't have a granny actually paying their waters and ministries. And ministries, offices are not paying their water. And they're one owing millions and billions. So that enforcement, being able to see something that is really happening, you know, put in practice, that's what we see. much of other people, we just see, you know, people talking, yeah, we're supposed to do this. It's all what we're supposed to do. It's never what, let's, from next year or from this time, this is what's going to happen. I'm really missing that kind of leadership. Eh? That kind of leadership who is actually talking about, this is what's going to happen. In 2 months, in a year's time, this is what is going to happen. They're speaking like me. That's what's supposed to happen. Who was I listening to? You know, I was listening to, I was listening to the ED, you know, ED of health, you know, about talking about the shortages of, if you are listening to the news yesterday, talking about the shortage of medicine the critical shortage of medicine in hospitals and clinics. And the way he speaks, he's talking about, you know, he doesn't even probably give us what bring us here. Eh? What bring us here? And how, if you can tell us, identify what brings us here and how are we going to sort out those problems. Talking about what's supposed to happen. Eh? I can put up a plan. Even if I don't work in the ministry, if you ask me, can you come up with a plan how we're going to sort this out? Well, I can put up a plan. How can this sort it about, you know? But, you know, the question is really looking at what are the things that, why are there the shortage of medicine in hospitals? Why it's becoming an issue? What are the problems and how are we now going to deal with that problems? It's talking about, of course, the plan, but how do I understand the plan when I don't understand what is happening? You can talk to me, okay, we're doing this, and we're supposed to do this, this is what's supposed to happen, and, you know. Yeah, so that tells, and also that thing, I don't know, but what I'm also looking at, why, this is just an example, I'm kind of always thinking, why can't we have an ED for the Ministry of Health? Why can't we have an ED that is actually a medical doctor? Eh? Why? It just dawned my mind yesterday and kind of like, why? And I'm saying that because when I'm listening, and I said, someone who is a medical doctor probably would have understand this better. I'm not saying he doesn't, but actually kind of felt disappointed because he was all over in his answers, not really be able to answer the question that he was asked. He was all over. Yeah? And I'm thinking, why can't we have actually an ED that's a medical doctor for the Ministry of Health? Huh? Yeah, so those are some of the issues. And let's not forget the other pressures, you know, the pressures pressing down on ordinary Namibians, the rising, you know, housing cost. Yeah, those are some of the issues. Higher unemployment, don't forget that. Drought related losses, you know, in rural communities and the whole skill mismatch. And someone put this very nicely for me, you know. So skills mismatch, meaning we have people without jobs and job without people with the right training, you know. That says it, you know, when we talk about skills mismatches, that meaning that we have people without jobs, eh? We have people without jobs and job without people with the right training. So that means we actually have jobs, but the people that we have that without job don't have the skills the skill that is actually needed by that job. I'm nearly confusing myself. Yeah. So, yeah, skills mismatch, as meaning we have people without jobs, yes, and we have jobs without people with the right training or with the right qualification. So there could be that there are jobs available. And this is the thing. There could be that there are jobs available, maybe plenty of them. It's just that the people don't have the right training or the right qualification for those jobs. Yeah? So, and these are not small problems. So these are not small problems. These are massive, massive, massive structural issues. Yeah, that no single budget actually announcement is going to fix it overnight. So, all right. So, what is your take? What is your take about this? Yeah, what do you think? Okay. It's 59 minutes past 8. So, what is your take? 08333-66091. We're coming to you live from the Ondango studio. So 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, welcome. And this is your number one talk radio station. And yeah, if you are in the area, so or tell your some people that you know, if they said, we can't hear Eagle FM anymore, you know, this is the way to go, man. You know, download the app, the Eagle FM mobile app, you will be able to listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. In and out. I visited in South Africa, and I was able to listen to Eagle FM, you know, away from, you know, from home. Yeah. So, yeah, download the Eagle FM app and, you'll be sorted out. You don't need to, you know, to worry where you are. So you can be able to listen to, Eagle FM wherever you are. So make sure that you download that. So yeah, what do you need? What do you need to take away from this conversation this morning? Is that our trade deficit is actually massive. Okay, 10.4 billion. 10.4 billion. And it's getting worse. So it's getting worse, not better. And we are spending more than we earn. We are spending more than when you end. That's bankruptcy. Eh? That's bankruptcy, isn't it? So, our economy shrank in the last quarter of 2025. It's actually declined. Mining collapsed by nearly 30%. Manufacturing fell as well. And the sector that grew, which is actually construction, agriculture, and fishing, simply aren't big enough to fill the gap. They were not kind of like big enough really to be able to fill the gap. So, and we remain dangerously dependent on a handful of commodity sectors. So, and that is not news. Okay? That's not news, but it keeps being ignored. And that is the problem. So, the reforms are welcome, but they are not actually turning the ship around fast enough. Okay? The reform that the government trying to implement, it's just that they are not fast enough and they are not turning the ship around fast enough. Lower interest rate haven't sparked borrowing. So as we have seen the repo rate, you know, bigger budget haven't created production. Our economy needs structural change, according to the Economic Association of Namibia. So it needs structural change, not just policy announcement. It needs structural change. So, and if we don't diversify, and build up our own productive capacity, manufacturing, agriculture, small businesses, we will keep riding this boom and bust, you know, this boom and bust cycle. And it is the ordinary Namibians, workers, families, youth looking for jobs, who pay the price, actually? Who pay the price every time the cycle turns down? Yeah, so, yeah. If you get a time, read that review. That Namibia is where we are. That's where we are. Tough reality. It's a tough reality. Yes, but we can only fix what we are willing to face. Yeah? We can only fix what we are willing to face, and that starts with understanding exactly what is happening. Understand what is happening. So, here's my question to you this morning. Are we building an economy that works for everyone, or are we still just relying on what is underground? So let's get this conversation going. We want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, from Oshakati, from Kate Mansuop, from Wavish Bay. You know, what does your daily reality look like? Okay, are you feeling this economic squeeze? Eh? Or are the reform reaching your community? The reform that we're talking about, are they reaching your community? What is your daily reality look like in your community? So, are you being squeezed, you know? Do you feel squeezed? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So, good morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
No.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, and a very good morning to you if you just joining us. So, yeah, what is your reaction? What's your reaction on that? So, please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-333-66-09 So, you are most welcome to come through and yeah, and have your say and have your reaction to that. So, all right. Okay, let's turn to something else, awesome. While you're thinking and while you're coming through. So I want you to imagine something, okay? Imagine something for me. Imagine you're a pensioner in Katutura or anywhere, okay? You owe the city of Windhoek. Let's say in Katutura, you owe the city of Windhoek 1,500. 1,500 Namibian dollar. Just 1,500, okay? And one evening, you come home, you turn the tap, you turn on the tap, and nothing comes out. Nothing comes out, no water, your light is off, you know, your lights are off, the municipality has cut off your, you know, your utilities. Now imagine, at the very same time, you know, the government ministry in the same city owes nearly $1 million. You're just owing about 15,000. I mean, you're just 1,500. So, same city, a ministry in the same city owes nearly $1 million. $1 million. And their water? Well, still running. Their light? Well, still on. So, how does that make you? How does that actually sit with you? Does that sound fair? Does that actually sound fair? I mean, that's a practice that has been going on for years. And the urban and rural development minister, so James Sankwasa, say he's drawing a line. So he's drawing a line, no more free rides, no more free rides, no more special treatment. So he's actually drawing the line. Okay, enough is enough. Dead as genug. Yeah? So, yeah. And for years, of course, for years, I mean years, and I mean many years, our local authorities have been They have been crying. Windhoek, Wavish Bay, Kiatmansoop, Wachivarongo, Shakati. All of them, they have been crying. They have been telling anyone who would listen the same story. We are broke. We are broke. We cannot fix those, you know, we cannot fix the potholes. And remember, when you hear and I, one thing I have found out is that, you know, when you hear, you know, those municipalities or town councils telling you billions in terms of like the backlog or something like that, you know, we need this, how much billions. Once you have heard that, then you know, just that tells you that, forget it, we're not going to do anything. We're broke. Eh? So we cannot fix the potholes, you know. We cannot maintain the, you know, like in Rundu, we cannot maintain the water pipes, you know. We cannot keep the straight line on, you know. Yeah, they're broke. Absolutely broke. And why? Why are they broke? Because the people who owe them the most money, the people who owe the most money, are not the ordinary auntie in Katutura or in Komazdal or somewhere, or an uncle somewhere in Kopabis. No. The biggest debtor are the government ministry themselves. They are the biggest debtor. State-owned enterprises. They are the big corporate. Yeah? And big private companies. We're talking about billions of Namibian dollars. What does that mean, really? And think of this. We don't really think seriously about this kind of stuff. Eh? By the ministry not paying, by the ministry not actually paying their bills and state-owned enterprises, they denying us the service. They denying us the service that the municipality is supposed to bring, that's supposed to actually deliver. They are the one who are denying us that. Now, last year alone, let's just look at this. Last year alone, NamWater said local authority owed them $2.4 billion. Local authority. Now, when you're looking at that, now you can quickly just blame the local authorities. And NamWater, that was NamPower. What is that? That was NamWater. NamPower, another $557 million from councils and parastatals. If you put that together, okay, they put it together, and you are actually staring at almost $3 billion in unpaid bills. $3 billion in unpaid bills. Yeah? And I'm talking just last year alone. Yeah? Get into numbers, people. Now, under the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, James Yankwasa, on the 21st of May, he issued a circular, basically an information instruction. So it's basically a formal instruction telling municipality, cut them off, cut them off, switch off the water, switch off the light. Yeah? And by Friday, when is today's the 4th? Yeah, today's the 4th, tomorrow. So by Friday, the 5th of June, no more free rides, and he's not backing down. See, also, the minister is not actually backing down. And he's not backing down. The minister is essentially saying, enough is enough. So he's making an argument that there is no law. Not the Local Authority Act, not in the Local Authority Act, not the State Finance Act, that gives any ministry, any government office, any big company, a special pass not to pay their municipal bill. There is no law. There is no special pass to not to pay municipal bills. And in his view, if a small pensioner, and this is very good, that's good what he's saying, so is that if a small pensioner in Donkerhoek can have her electricity disconnected for owing 1,500, if she can have her electricity disconnected for owing $1,500, then why should a ministry? Why should a ministry owing nearly a million walk? Why should they walk, around scot-free? Why should they walk around scot-free? And my dear listeners and my dear friend, that's the billion-dollar bill questions. That is a billion-dollar bill questions. Now, think about it seriously. Now, have you ever fallen behind on your water bill? Have you ever? Even by just 1 month, maybe. What happens? You will be scrambling to find money before the kids, before the kids come from home school. you will be scrambling, to find money before even kids comes home from school, to make sure that when they come home, there's light. But a whole ministry can owe hundreds of thousands and nothing happens. For years, it is not like just for years. How is that fair, actually? And this is what now the minister is trying to address. How is that fair? So you tell me. Is that how a fair system works? Seriously, is that how a fair system works? Is that the equality our constitution talk about? This it has a deeper issues. It really have a deeper, deeper issues. From where I'm sitting, that look like two sets of rules. It looked like two sets of rules, one for the ordinary Namibian and one for the powerful. As I said, from where I'm sitting, that's what I see. There's a rule for the powerful and there's a rule for ordinary Namibians. Now, and let me ask you this. Is the minister right to draw this line? Do you think the minister is actually doing right to draw this line? Or is he moving too fast? There are those probably think that he's moving too fast or too hard. Yeah? Now, okay, let me play a devil advocate here for a moment, okay? Okay, let's get the call up quickly. Good morning, welcome to Unpack in the Day.
Yes, big man, how are you?
I'm fine, man, how is the morning?
The morning is proper, man.
That's good to hear.
Just cold, it's freezing now.
You're freezing there?
Yo. This morning it was cold.
Good for you. There was a time I came to Windhoek, passed through Windhoek, and I have been there for a couple of days, and it was nice. And I came with, just because I went to South Africa, I came with a lot of, heavy jacket and all that. And I was, you guys told us it's cold here, and there's nothing. I just packed things for nothing, you know? Yeah, now you guys are freezing. Yeah.
Now it's freezing. Yeah, serious. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
We are broke.
We are broke.
Yeah.
We are broke.
Man. But we kind of fancy broke because we are buying new cars.
We are broke, but we're still eating expensive. Yeah? You know, we are broke,
but we're still eating expensive.
We're eating expensive. We dress expensive. We even increase our salaries. You know, but we are broke.
We are broke, guys. That's what I'm saying. We Africans, we don't know what we want, seriously. The world is moving. People are talking about good things with you for about their season, but the way we do things is something around. Because remember, just imagine now with this new SUV, and they were still having the Masete, we don't know what they are going to do with it. Because up to now, we never had any auction.
Yeah.
From the Minister of Transport. But they are getting, every day they are getting Land Cruiser. The new Land Cruiser, which even governor, I think also they are having it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just imagine. Yeah. Why we cannot just stick to what we have for calendar now? Since we are coming up with a new, every day we are suggesting something that, no, guys, they are kids who are doing mechanic.
Yeah.
In VTC. And they are able to fix those Mercedes. Some they are doing panel beaters and what, you name it. With small cost. Because this is, you know, when a person is doing apprenticeship, this is just a reward.
Yeah.
Allowance you are going to give that. Not like the full way you are taking to the Mercedes Benz, where they are charging you more than, it's like you are buying a Katangi Bojwana in one Mercedes. You see? But seriously, now, if we all know that we don't have money. But that's why I'm wondering, even this, what Bush allowance that they are saying, it's not really stopped. They are just trying, is somebody trying to play tricks? Because the money is not there. That's why NASA up to now, they never pay it out and nobody saying anything.
But can you imagine? We don't really think this thing deeper. You think, you know, we are complaining that the municipalities are actually not delivering their services. Okay, they are not delivering services. You know, we have potholes in, and we can complain. Yeah. Look, there are potholes that are actually not years
and
years
and we are paying road authority.
Can you imagine? and can you imagine that these things are not being done? Can you imagine that these things are not being done because, you know, the government itself, it's more like you understand? We are the one, the government ministries and all these offices are the one owing millions to municipality to be able to deliver the service that we need.
The services. Exactly. Which is true. So many times they come in the media that this processor, this one is owing how much, this one is owing.
I like Sangwasa, you know, because this is one, a person who would be able to say, okay, he gave a directive that by tomorrow, if they don't make an arrangement or whatever, cut their water off, cut their electricity off, you know.
And how many times we say, no, this is what we need. We don't need people just come there, make a long speech, but at the end of the day, there's nothing happening. We want something like, yes, this is what we are going to do. Like Sangwasa, the way he's doing it. Yeah. That's why most of people are admiring Sangwasa. I'm telling you. Hey. That's why even these colleagues, they are just window shopping, checking him what is up to next.
He said, there's no law. There's no law that says that gives any ministry or a government office or any big company a special pass and not to pay their municipal bill. So cut
it
off.
I'm telling you. How many people they lose their house even for municipality auctioning their house?
Exactly.
But this person, all that people, my friend, they lose their house.
Yeah.
Because of the debt.
It's just because even a 500 or 1,000 something. You know?
Yeah, they will come and cut it off first. Then later on, when it's accumulating, they start putting up that on the auction. Really, I think Master Sangwasa is here to save Namibia. Not like individuals who are doing
it. No, we needed to multiply the Sangwasas. Kind of like multiply Sangwasas.
Exactly. I said yes, it's what we need everywhere.
Yeah.
Because there are really, really like a hot things which are supposed to be handled to some minister. You talk even like a minister of labor. You talk about information. My friend, people are, you can tell they're there, but these are young people. And you just wondering, how busy are they?
Yeah, in that ministry, nothing actually has grown. Nothing has grown.
I'm telling you. But up to now, that we can see that yes, Minister for Urban, yes, is there. It's even available to the people.
Yeah.
Anytime you see Sangwasa going to travel anyway, is making sense.
Yeah, it's outrooting. It's really outrooting the rotten system. You know,
a system. I'm telling you,
it's outrooting.
You know,
the
how long
system.
Will this CEO be the Ben so comfortable?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering now. Apart from selling land, getting the utility from the service of like paying electricity and water, what else these guys they are generating their money out of? You know how many times I suggested that why a Namibian government they cannot come up with even what municipality flat? And then now we are even given a problem already with accommodation when it comes to Sudan. But the municipality they are giving a service rent to what to the banks.
So that's what's the other when we were looking at the I think it's something we talked about it even not long time ago where it was even a Dr. Omo Kakuyaha who actually said instead of actually thinking of this whatever the government thinking of house unit like each one of you what about you know government flats you know because many of people who comes to Windhoek you know they not gonna live there.
No.
So you can provide them accommodation. You can provide them accommodation in the meantime when they are working in Windhoek, and later on give them a space now where they can build, you know, their home, maybe where they come from, Arundu, Kiet Mazop or Shakati. Yeah. So it's,
you know what I'm telling you, our municipality, maybe if they involve in the mall also, maybe they are. But seriously, we cannot just rely on the outlets. Money and the auctioning the land. No, there must be something to for them to generate money.
Yeah, but when you look
they need
at,
to come up with a,
So, but when you look at, if you go to Europe as well, this is basically how things are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't really find many people who have they have apartment that is as big as a home. You know?
No.
As big as a home, but it's not like a standalone unit. You don't find many people with having a standalone unit. House.
Not at all.
Yeah?
They are all flat everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm even wondering what if you see, when it comes to municipality, like somewhere I was staying in the UK, they say the municipality is their own maybe all the flats, not individually like the way we are doing it here.
Yeah.
They are even like having the councillor flat, they're having what, I forget the way they call it. It's like an association, you know, maybe women action and what, they're having flat, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Which are empowering people, not like individually where you see this person is just a cousin of minister, is having a flat in Comasdal. Again, he's having apartment at Olympia. Again, when you go to Cranwell, he's there again.
Yeah, like you actually like empowering actually institutions.
A group of people, even.
Yeah, it's more like, it's more like quarters, actually, you know.
Yeah. But here, my friend, we are doing it somewhere differently.
You find that many properties owned by an individual in Winter.
Individual person.
Yeah. Just hold on for a few seconds, okay?
All right.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu. Weli rongere kusha omune ondengu okuura kwe imba. Una ovyu nedia peke o gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe sto. Pwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. O peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente omurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente omirongo ivari na dano Media Murongana, Vivari Moshimarif. It orera on Dengu, Chimayu Ngura na Wakove, na wina onyanokife. Asheesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishuhina omarifiro. Imba o maorongane no owieku hakainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Alright, welcome back. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike. I was just wondering if this imaging news location like Ongos, Omela. You name it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's really, really getting benefit of that? They're still in the locality of Windhoek, but there's in private individual who are we in control of that.
Yeah, because the model is that if you have money, you're the only one who can acquire property. Yeah.
Which at a long line is wrong. That's why today people are complaining like now, even a teacher cannot afford it. Because this person who is in control of, we will make sure that government and or even the way the banks are dealing, it makes sure that the banks are not able to fund everybody individually.
No, this is exactly
because the moment everybody is able to get money to what? To buy a house. Then nobody is going to lend in this property.
This is what we say. This is actually a colonial legacy. This is actually system that we inherited from, you know, from apartheid or from colonialism. Because we still have the minority who actually own the land. Do you understand? And it is the very same thing that because you have money, you're going to acquire property. You're going to acquire land in an urban area.
Yeah.
So, and then you control that.
That is the thing. And now we are just continuing the way it is.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
Nothing changes. Nothing have changed. Yeah?
No, man. I think it's a hard time. I like the Sangwasa the way he's doing it.
Yeah.
Like the way he took the land from municipality because of municipality or the government. That is what we need. That is the kind of leader we are required to have in Namibia. Because if you are too soft,
and the other thing, you know,
taking advantage.
And the other thing, when he decided, okay, that, you know, do you remember during COVID, ne? You know, during COVID, there was a directive that, you know, people should not be charged by the water and the electricity or something like that.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Now he actually said, well, the municipality must actually look for, they must actually not. They want, he's asking for them to write off their bill during that time. The pensioners and people with disabilities. You know?
Which is a good thing.
He said, no, write them off.
Write them off, yeah. Because
you understand?
This is coming even like a long way from COVID, because there was no income and so on. And now, if you look even the way we are in Namibia, is that when you look at the disability people, then you look old pension. These are people who are, some of them just rely on government grant.
Yeah.
And just imagine the water alone, how much is going to cost you already? It's already passing that money with the other person is getting from the government.
Mm.
And because remember, we are come from the era where some people have never been working at all.
Yeah.
Or you've been working as a cleaner. What you get, Social Security just pay you off one time. That's all. But they've been deducting for more than 40 years.
Yeah.
GIPF, maybe they will be able to give you my 500 is coming out. Seriously, I don't know even how our government look at this, when how their people are going to survive when you look at the money which they are getting from the government. Yeah. We cannot say it's not enough. It's okay, but really, I think there are some way also maybe to make a private sector to come through to them. Sometimes even just a grocery cut.
Yeah.
If we have even our, I'm telling you, we have even this shop where they are even throwing their food sometimes because of expired date. What about before it expires? Maybe it's going to expire next week. What about if these other people, they are having a cut where they are able to buy those on less place?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, reduce price. Maybe if it used to like a bread, maybe it used to cost like $15. All that person can come there and then can get it for $10 or $8.
Mm.
Then I want it even in Social Security to get Social Security. Because I don't know where our money going, man. In Social Security, seriously. Something need to be done. And me, I feel so bad that I'm contributing to Social Security, but at the end of the day, I'm not getting anything. Because some of us, we are not even going to have a kid.
Yeah.
Because we know how much it's expensive to have a kid in Namibia. Serious. The money is there, but we don't know what Social Security is do with that money.
Yeah, sometimes the money is there. It's just that we don't use it properly, you know? We don't use it properly, you know?
Serious, but it's a hard time also Social Security is starting to be, if they are saying social, it's supposed to be social well-being of our people. There's some asset contributing, not in this. Every time they are saying kabaza, then only 10 people are going to get benefit out of or something. It's what I'm always saying. Social Security, DIPF, they can come up with it in a bank where they are finding even this smaller SME. So people can able to get something. But if our money just hide there day and then later on they disappear, like the way they did with last time when they lost the 30 million, there must be something really, I think, they can come on board to do.
Yeah.
Because now we are in the crisis where you are having a youth going up to 70% high unemployment, but we still have money hiding there, the Social Security and the DIPF. And I don't know how much we have for now for when it comes to this, what do you call it, Karari funding or something, which we are saving up for the next week. But serious, I think they need to come up with something.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, let me give other people a chance.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through.
Okay, cheers.
08-333-66091. 08-333-66091.
37 past 9 is our time. All right. So, yeah, is the minister right to draw this line? Okay. Is he right to draw this line? Pay your bill, man. Enough, it's enough, you know. So, or maybe, is he moving too fast? Is he moving too fast? Now, I wanted to play a little bit of a, what is it, play a devil advocate for a moment, because that's what we do here, on this show. We don't just take one side and run with it, okay? Now, what happened when you cut the electricity to a hospital? Let's sit with that for a moment, all right? A hospital in Windhoek, you know, Shakato in Katima Muriro, wherever, you know, there's a mother in labor there. There's a child on oxygen. Yeah? There's a fridge full of vaccine and insulin. Now, you flip that switch and what happened? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
You are freezing in Windhoek.
Yeah. That is.
Oh, I just done fridge.
Yeah, quite a fridge. So that is the law that keeping us here.
Yeah.
What they are saying. And yeah, thank you for Mr. Sankwasa, but I don't see any argument on his statement.
Yeah.
So he wants now to cut off the public office.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really look like they are the one that is accumulating those high water bills or electricity. That is depending on how the service, the visitors are coming to use those ones.
So, I mean, if there are water coming into your office and electricity and you're not paid them, you are not paying for them, they are the ones that are accumulating them.
Yeah, but it have two angles to look at it.
Yeah.
Not only one to say, yeah, because you have to look also on their budget. So, how much are they getting and what are they using for?
Yeah.
Because some of those ministries, they have a lot of activities, sending people out and all of that. But at the end of the day, the money are not enough.
Now, do ministry? Let's say for example, you know, do ministry actually then they before the money comes from finance, do the ministry now also give a budget? You know, of course, the budget, they don't get everything that they budgeted for. But do they give the budget which include a line item that also include the line item of utilities? So now it becomes a habit because nobody pressured them. You know, if we don't pay electricity, you know, the municipality doesn't come to us and cut off our water or cut off our electricity. So you understand? So it becomes...
But they have, because if you go to the original office there...
Yeah.
They're receiving those bills, those letter bills from the municipality. And those finance people on that office, on that regional office, they know that they ask also finance office in there, or even some days there is a meeting which is called economic, I just forget it, but it's economic something like that. Every 2 weeks, they are sitting and discussing what is they are using the money for and all of that. Because the money is where now they're including this out of the office, how do they call it, S&T and all of that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when they are said, okay, we need to pay, for example, in a year, so in a month, how much is it? It comes to 300 or 400 or 1.1, because remember the economic person that is there is reviewing that, maybe come from another ministry and say, yeah, why you guys are using 1.5 and asking the ministry of what we're using it just 300,000. So that is where now the problems come, because it's 1.5, it's talking about 300. So they ignore for that, that you are, we will come and pay for the following month. So at the end of the day, that is how it came. But it cannot say they don't want to pay. Maybe the money is not enough.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not that because they don't want to pay. It's definitely there are other factors, you know. There are other things that are involved. As you're saying, the budget might not be actually enough, and then you have to to make a choice. What are the priorities?
Yes, because if there is a fuel for going on the field, and there is this municipal bill, because remember they all come from the houses. So they don't use this water. No matter how cut it off, they would not stop their work. So, understand this. So that is what now they say, to say, this one must wait a bit so that you can sort it out to the people that need to go to the field. So that is how Minister Sangwasa needing to sit with people and understanding also them. So, and he cannot say, because if you look at it, you cannot blame the local authority now on that, as Sangwasa is doing, to say, we are not pressuring them. What if I'm pressuring them and they give me an excuse? So what do you expect me to do? That's another uncle. So that's what I'm saying. It's something very unique to do it, because those ministries, they have a lot of people servicing each and every day. And the electricity, all the computers that are there, they are working because of people that just need their services.
But it's from the way the minister is talking, and it looks like in some cases you have just, you know, where the ministries or the offices are completely ignored that budget line, that budget line item. Yeah.
Yeah. No, at the end of the day, you have to say that. Because of your frustrations. That one I understand.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, if they are owing this year, maybe they were supposed to writing up a letter to the Minister of Finance.
Yeah.
That, okay, according to the budget, this is what it, and even Mr. Kanjeke need also to indicate that, okay, on the look of these things, the money that is left, and or the money that we're using, this is the important one. This is not the important one.
Yeah.
So because SNT is also one of the things, but you cutting the SNT, you are also cutting the performance of that ministry. That's what some people, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. If you are saying, don't go to the meeting in Angola, or don't go to the meeting, the close border meeting with Zambia, so you are cutting the communication between these two countries just because you don't have a budget to send a person there. So at the end of the day, the frustration, yes, I understand. But we are talking about the budget, Mr. Mike.
Yeah.
If you give your child the budget to say, okay, go to school, this is your money for what? For the kiosk thing, or this is what. So at the end of the day, and a friend now bring up the other project that is involved money.
Mm.
And she using that money for the project. They said, no, we're in a group, we end up contributing 50-50. So I took him from. So those are now the things that you need to understand, that it's not really the ignore things that people are talking about, as they say they don't want to pay or what. It's just because of the budget.
The municipalities cannot be able to deliver service because the government doesn't have money.
That's another issue. That's why I'm saying so. Because on the Minister of Finance day, the people that are budgeting, let us giving Minister of Education 10 million. Let us giving Minister of what 5 million.
Yeah.
Those are the one that is also cutting some of the expenses. So I don't see really much. Yeah, but
there's also a question of fairness, you know, where he even give an example to say even auntie in Donger who can be able to pay, you know, their 1,500 that they owe, and why can't the ministry actually pay their why can't they pay themselves? And these are the wealth ministry compared to now to a pensioner. Okay, so this is a pensioner who's actually, if he doesn't pay, you cut off their water, and then you know you have the ministry does it done.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. When you look at the ministry, the frustration of giving example with Auntie and the ministry. Look at the ministry's way, and look at the Auntie say using. Who are those people that is using water in Auntie's house?
Yeah.
Is some of those people they know they don't want him to give you Auntie money, you understand? So that is where the difference is.
Yeah.
So most of the people that are increasing the budget of the Auntie getting money from the pension money. So, but if she live alone on that house, so she can maintain it to pay the municipal bill. But the other extra that are coming in that house, they are the one that is increasing the budget, but they are not contributing. So that is where the problem is. That's why most of the aunties that you are saying in the municipal PTO houses, which is called permission to occupy, so those people, they are the one that is increasing. When anyone who saw them, when they are chased by municipal, they get about 5 grandchildren plus 2 niece and what. So there are a lot. So that means only one who are paying will be able to raising money for municipal bill, but the 10 of them, they don't. Yeah, but for now, since it's also not an argument on court, because for now, the government is also taking care of those auntie or granny say children, because they are getting 250 from the government.
Yeah.
So another issue, which means you need to taking $50 go to the water bill. So that is another issue to argue. So Mr. Sangwasa doesn't have a case here. In court, he doesn't have a case. But he's just need to understanding also that we need to discuss with Mr. Shafuda about this. Because people are trying to deliver their work, but unfortunately, the budget is not enough for them.
Yeah.
So that is another.
Their hands are cut off, yeah.
Yeah, their hands are cut off. No, it's not something that is simple. But on the look of the BTO, that one, yeah, we are still discussing about that. BTO is a problem because you are just targeted to pay the municipal bill.
Mm.
That house is not yours. Anything happened that you are stopped paying, it means you are telling them, I'm no more interested in to be a render or tenant of this government thing. So, and then they have to take in their things. But on to give, to locate it to another person, they have to auction it. So that is another issue. But when they are auctioning it, the way we saw the roof hole is that when they are auctioning it, they are giving the ownership, land ownership to that person now.
Yeah.
Why you didn't give the land ownership to the auntie? So that is now something which is Mr. Sangwaza cannot make an example of aunties, because they are stripping people's house that they've been paying that municipal bill for 40 years. But at the end of the day, because he's failing to pay 1,000, you are saying, I'm taking the PTO out of you. No, things are not work like that.
So
those are some of the things that, but that one I have a lot to unpack, but maybe one day. But for today, Mr. Sangwasa doesn't have a case. No matter how beautiful he is addressing the issue. No, the issue is that those ministries, they have a lot of, and they have a regional office anywhere in the local authority.
Yeah.
Who are taking care of that water bill, those letters that you are sending to them. They know.
But in some way, one also have to say, you know, you have to pay the you have to pay for what I understand. What I definitely get your point. I honestly understand your point, but then from where he stand, he can't speak in a way that you know. I have to speak to the Minister of Finance actually to solve the problem. He actually have to speak directly to say, look, you are in charge of making sure that this person pays, you know, the utilities, what they use. So I think it is in his right to be able to say, look, if he doesn't pay, cut it off. But it also say, well, those who cannot be able to pay because of now the issue that you're raising, for example, come and negotiate how you're going to pay that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, no, that one is now coming from the minister of that entity, so that ministry.
Yeah.
To go discussing with Mr. Sangwasa. That one is another issue that I'm saying. Mike, if you wanted to understand this, look at the rural water supply that was happening in the north in the 90s. It was the same thing. So they're giving the community, the village or whatever, tap water on their village there. But in that village, there's only 5 people that are committed to paying. Every month. But the others are saying, no, 3 months, I will not get water from this because I'm getting the rainwater.
Maybe just
water to drink. But you're giving to NAM Water that all the houses, they agreed to contribute $50 per month. So at the end of the day, some they are now coming and negotiating with the community leader that I'm not paying.
Mm.
You understand? Because I'm not getting water there. I'm getting the right water.
Yeah.
So that is where now the problem is. The same thing that is happening to those ministries.
I get your point. Yeah.
No, yeah. It's a very something that the people, the finance person cannot go to municipal room. Municipality and explain what the ministry are doing. Yeah. It's not his ministry. It's not his responsible to go do that. That is maybe the ministry who is in Windhoek and the Rundu regional office is the one that are owing Rundu local authority. So you need to send maybe those letters. They need to send it to their ministry, ministers, the office, so that you can go and discuss this issue with the local authority. I don't know whether I see all the ministry straight to say, this is what we want you to do. We're paying you, but not today. So, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through, yeah?
You're welcome.
All right. 0833-66. They're still above 5 minutes.
Good morning. Hi. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
The other issue is also, yes, if the people are not able, they do not have the ability to save it, the service that they are getting from the those entities.
Yeah.
Yes. And you are not creating those economic opportunity for the people to pay. I'm just giving you a scenario where it can also be possible that, yes, people are willing to pay, but they are not able to pay because of the lack of economic opportunity to generate some income to pay.
Yeah. Now, the whole pushing, what Sangwasa is pushing is that, look, the people are paying, the people who don't even have work, the pensioners, you know, they miss 1 month, their water are cut off, but why are you not cutting off for the ministries and offices?
So I agree and I concur with him. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because if those people who are even able to pay, they have the ability, they are able to pay, they might not even have any option because their water will be cut off, their whatever will be cut off.
Yeah.
But the ones now who are even giving the same budget, because they also give some share to the municipality. Last time we were talking about municipal getting a budget from the government.
Yeah.
And if you are now getting this, and you are not able even to make a break even, to really able to perhaps meet those ones who are paying, even though they are not even having this formal employment like you are.
Yeah.
Is that not a contradiction?
Mm.
it is actually a contradiction, because you are actually telling the people to negotiate, but who is negotiating on behalf of these people?
Yeah. Mm.
So the position of negotiation must come with power as well, you understand? So if you are in that position and you are able to negotiate a strike, a win-win,
yeah.
Because many a times see, people are, what is happening now is a win-lose kind of situation where you cannot even bargain. So we have experienced some of those issues where you cannot even bargain because you are told, yes, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
Then what do? You have to adhere to that. So, but who is going to bargain in your own interest?
Yeah, exactly.
So what you are saying is that the only issue that municipal or those entities can solve that problem is to create economic opportunity so that the people who are, even in the, especially in the informal sector, because those are the ones that we are saying that they might have very less opportunity to generate income. So create those kind of economic opportunity, take the economic opportunity to the people so that the people can then able to generate and gain some income to service those, to pay for the services that they are consuming. Not necessarily the people are not willing.
Right,
but the ability to really do that might not be there.
Yeah.
And that's an hindrance.
All right.
So the economic activity, the diversification of the mining, we were told a long time ago, even if they are giving, and we are seeing some dividends being given to the government, but can't they also really diversify their activities? Because even mining, all those ones, they can also do some other economic activities apart from mining, so that they can also grow the, have a bigger base of the revenue generation.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for coming through.
Cool.
All right. All right. It's 10 o'clock, OptiCop. So what this story is really about is not just water and electricity. It's about accountability, you know. A quick one. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Yeah, just on another take with Sankwasa as well.
Mm.
Recently, the minister went to South Africa
to
look for solutions for cheap housing or affordable housing materials. I think the minister should really first do his homework here at home and find out if there's anybody offering that, and maybe provide some sort of an open door, an open invitation to say, whoever has a solution, come let us see your solution and take it from there before going outside of the country.
I agree with you. I think it's people who come up with something and then they go to the ministry and said, oh, we have an alternative to, you know, there's these solutions. So from then they jump on board on a project, rather than actually, as you say, you know, open up that kind of opportunity to see what you have. I think I definitely do agree with you in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been many people in this country that have gone to local authorities, that have gone to ministries, specifically to local authorities also, to say, hey, I've got this product, and this product is cheap housing. Can you try it? But the local authorities, it's either not in their mandate or they don't have the appetite for that.
Yeah.
So if the minister wants to do that, he should first start in-house. That's all I've got to say. That's a very quick one.
All right. No, thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming through.
Thanks so much. Okay, Mike. Bye.
Bye. All right. I was just saying that, you know, the story is really about it's about accountability. It's about whether the institution of this country can be held to the same standard as the citizens,
you know. So given also what we were talking about, the callers that came through and says, you know, have their opinion. And to put this in perspective, when a municipality doesn't get its money, it cannot fix road, it cannot maintain infrastructure, it cannot provide basic services to residents like you and me, you know. All of us, politician, public, the public, including, you know, us, me, we complain about poor service delivery, bad road, potholes that never get fixed. But when local authorities try to collect their money, suddenly everyone cries foul. So what do we Namibians really want, you know? So that's, yeah, just to, so to probably, and, you know, just to, what is the, to let, to bring this all together. So the Minister Sangwasa has drawn a fine line, you know, a firm line, yeah? So a firm line by this Friday, ministries, state bodies, and big private companies that haven't paid their municipality bill face a disconnection. No exemption at all. The numbers are staggering. About $3 billion is owed to NamWater and NamPower combined. Local authorities are on the brink of collapse because of this. So, yeah, the principle is simple. If ordinary Namibian must pay their service, so must everyone else. Fairness demand consistency. So, Tate Naruvanda is pushing me out of the chair. Actually, is even lifting me up that get out. You know, it's time and he need to come in and he have people that he need to talk to probably. So, Tate,
Michael,
how are you?
Fine.
You okay?
I'm not okay. Waria community then.
Hey, one. Then nakuyoshi yongoti.
Yeah.
You should do so. Nakuyoshi yongoti.
Yongoti. Na yakuna ina mungo ni. Mafiku mungo na yata anduka.
Yeah. Nakuyoshi yongoti.
Shikito ileko Michael.
Eh?
Shikito ileko.
Koshi koko.
Kionga.
Yeah. Great. Gopuno shiongoti, anakuyengwa shiongoti manga.
Amba.
So, ewa, apulikini, natu mhalele fikuliwa, se atupe tatena Naruvanda akufeko shiponti. It's goodbye for me. All right.